When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome in to Rumor and Innuendo for Tuesday, April 30th, 2024, right here at adfreeshows.com. I'm not Dominic D'Angelo. I'm Zach Haydorn from Brass Ring Media, filling in for Dom today with Robert, as always. Robert, man, what's going on, dude?
Did Dom get drafted away? Is that what's going on here? Like, I know a lot of changes happened last night. I tune in. It still says Dom on the Chiron, but it is Zach. So I will only call you Dom 7 or 8 times today. So Mr. D'Angelo, for those of you who might not be aware, I was not aware, is a master thespian. And he is actually today filming a scene for the Jeremy Renner TV show, The Mayor of Kingstown. Thank you for joining from what looks like either a prison or the office from that TV show Severance. I'm not sure what's going on either way.
Oh man, I'm at the old day job gimmick right now, and scooted away and had to find this. Like, man, you should have seen me trying to hunt down this conference room. But yeah, it looks like it's straight out of Severance, because it could very easily be straight.
It's got that feel. Yes. It works. But hey, thanks to all you joining us live wherever you are in the world. Say hi to a couple of folks here. Antonio Santos, happy Tuesday, fellas. I got nothing today. I can kind of understand that a little bit. Dre Owen says, got my factory meal, my Terramana. Time for Rumor and Innuendo. P.S. That draft sucked. Can't disagree. And lastly, Cammy Starr says, afternoon, guys, a rare occasion to watch live for me. Thank you for joining live here. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of stuff to cover. I know, Zach, I told you were going to drive, and somehow I'm driving here, but we're going to talk big AEW signing that ties into our friends Billy and the CW, some follow-up on Tony Khan, some follow-up on the potential location of WrestleMania. But most importantly, the draft is now in the rear-view mirror. Zach, what did you think of the draft?
What draft? Much ado about
nothing. It was a slight breeze.
Yes. Like, I mean, it felt to me genuinely that, you know, Paul Levesque, Triple H, was just like, well, we have to have this draft, I guess, because, you know, normally it does good ratings. But really, I'm happy with how things are. I'm happy with how things are laid out. We've got some good storylines in the pipeline. I don't want to change all that much. And so then he didn't. Look, I think in some ways it was refreshing, because there was a set of rules. They abided by those rules. They executed the draft. They kept champions the same. But I think this whole – if this is what the draft's going to be – I think this is, you know, shoulder content on some other platforms, and just, you know, do the drafts, rework the rosters if you want, and then just leave it at that. But like, the hype around this, I think, is what caused it to be, you know, ineffective. Like, it just, because it was a big fat nothing in the end.
It was a massive nothing. I think part of the challenge with the draft is the timing of it at different times during the year when they have done drafts. So usually you want it at a point in time where the storylines are stale. Hey, there's not a lot of movement going forward. Let's see where we're at. Right after WrestleMania, you have so many hot angles. You have so many interesting stories. It's Cody's first title defense. It's Damian Priest's first title defense. The Drew McIntyre CM Punk story. The Sami Zayn Chad Gable story. You don't want to see those just go away. And when you have a draft, you can't really, you know, plant your feet as you're going into a pay-per-view and or a premium live event. And WrestleMania Backlash has just sort of felt like a thing. And the draft felt like an obligation outside of calling up some folks from NXT.
It sure did. It really did. And that's why, like, I think, I don't know if they wanted to, like, you know, kind of like ride the coattails of NFL draft buzz, and which is why they did it the same weekend. But to me, this is like this would be a smart thing to have, like, you know, in like a couple weeks after SummerSlam, a month after SummerSlam, like end of September, perhaps, where you kind of are in the dog days of the WWE calendar. The two big shows of the year are done. You know, you got to wait all the way to the Royal Rumble. Like, do it then. Like, this just, yeah, this was just, it was, I mean, flat is a kind way to put it.
So the draft in the past has led to interesting changes with members of the roster. It's interesting because the Dudleys were on last night, as were JBL and Ron Simmons. And I think the four people you think of that were the most impacted by the draft, you know, Bubba, as a single star, his big character development was he wore shorts. D-Von became a reverend. Ron Simmons, his big thing was he got fired, and then JBL became a main eventer. So you're trying to reshuffle the deck with your creative. The embarrassment of riches right now is the creative has been really good. There's nobody who desperately needed a reshuffling, and the big shift in a pre-Netflix world, I thought, was going to be switching Cody and Damian Priest.
I did too. That was on my list of like, okay, they're going to get Cody to Netflix for sure.
Yes.
Because you got to think that when like The Rock and Cody do their thing, whatever that is, they're going to want that on Netflix. I mean, that's just, you know, and that's not to say they can't move them later. But the other move that surprised me was if you're going to keep Cody where he is, not getting Gunther over to the same brand to have a program at some point later this year. I mean, the name of the game right now is how do you keep Cody hot by feeding him opponents that matter and that people care about and that are cast properly as heels opposite him. And to me, like Gunther coming out of that IC title run, the perfect way to like keep him hot and keep that momentum going is get him over to SmackDown and put him on that path to collide with Cody. They didn't do that. He's still on Raw. So that was a surprise to me too.
So I think the reason that Gunther is on Raw is you're going into King of the Ring. And I think there's going to be something around when you win King of the Ring, you're going to be able to break the rules and go out and get a title opportunity wherever you want. So maybe it's trying to throw people off the scent a little bit.
Sure.
But it was what was also kind of surprising was Judgment Day getting drafted to stay on Raw at the same time Karrion Kross's group they're in the same environment, gets drafted over to Raw. So now you have two vaguely spooky stables on the same show. And you now have the LWO on that show and Carlito to get like the rules.
Very weird.
I get it on our friends in AEW all the time when they're doing things that make absolutely no sense. A lot of the decisions that happened here in the draft, a lot of the moves, if you're looking at this logically, did not make a ton of sense. We predicted yesterday that Punk was going to be drafted before Drew McIntyre. I did not realize how far in advance Punk was going to be drafted before Drew McIntyre, which did not make it seem like a fun story and instead made Drew feel like he's not valued.
Yeah, yeah, it totally made sense to draft Punk before him, no question. But I mean, that's top five. That's top five picks. I mean, it's not that there's anything wrong with Jade Cargill. There's nothing wrong with those picks necessarily. But like,
there's a lot wrong with picking Braun Strowman above Drew.
But that's the thing. Once you kind of go down that road a little bit and you're too far in, then it's like, wait a minute, like what's going on here? Yeah, and I think. I don't know. You know, like Drew, is he really the guy that's going to be whining about his draft position? I mean, like, I don't know. That seems like total like mid-card to me and below him.
It does in the sense that his character is this undervalued across the board. Mm-hmm. That he was the champion during the COVID era. Nobody gives him the credit that he deserves. He was the forgotten world champion. He was the guy who spoke out against the bloodline and then they ruined his opportunity at Clash at the Castle and nobody was outraged that this was in front of his family. But when it happens to other people, there's an outrage. So he's constantly like this guy. So it would have made perfect sense because I'm looking at it within that round, with the Logan Paul iShow speed round. It was CM Punk, then Lashley and the Street Profits, then Braun, then Tiffany Stratton. You don't get Drew until after the LWO and Legado del Fantasma are picked.
Why?
One step above Nakamura. And the problem with wrestling is you believe all of it or you believe none of it. And if you're expected to watch a show and adhere to the rules of kayfabe, and I just went on a crazy rant about Tony Khan being assaulted by EVPs and not taking actions, you got to take both companies to task. And the big takeaway I had from this was the draft felt undercooked, and it felt like it was an obligation that they had to do.
Right.
You create rules your own universe. This should have been something that happened in June or July. For me, I think the draft going into Money in the Bank makes the most sense, just because when you're filling TV time in those weeks going up to that PLE, those are qualifying matches. So it doesn't really matter what your storylines are. You're watching who's going to make it into the from the Raw side, who's going to make it from the SmackDown side. So you've got those little self-contained stories to make the shows feel important while everything else shakes out. And then whoever wins has the briefcase. Doesn't matter what brand they're drafted to.
Yeah, yeah. I think, too, you could, like, I mean, if you want, like, let's say you just were, like, determined to tell this story with Drew McIntyre and you wanted to take him where you took him. Like, I think you could have some connectivity there and have Drew, you know, storm into Adam Pearce's office and go, hey, man, like, what the heck's going on here? And have Adam Pearce explain, look, Drew, you've been, you know, an absolute, you know, pain to have on the roster. Your elbow's not in good shape. You can't really work. Like, have some reason, like, articulate some reason why he would fall as far as he did. You know, there's players in the NFL draft that either, like, have bad attitudes or they interview poorly and they drop because of that, even though they're talented.
That was the Bloodline story. Yes. So the Bloodline dropped because of that. So they're repeating the story without repeating the story. Speaking of the NFL draft, there's flexes and then there's opening Raw with, hey, by the way, here's Logan Paul and Patrick Mahomes. Nothing makes this feel like a big time show quite like that. I know that it was part of the Prime Energy synergy, because Patrick Mahomes is, I guess, has some sort of an ownership stake, a sponsorship stake with Prime Energy. But from a Raw perspective, a WWE perspective, it doesn't get much better than that, does it?
No, I mean, look, no, not from a presence perspective. Like, that's a big get. Patrick Mahomes, one of the most recognizable athletes on the planet. But here, and it's a big but, and maybe I'm the only one. I'm curious as to what you think about this. I hated the segment on the air when they did it in the ring. Like, I have just, like, how do you miscast Patrick Mahomes in his own city with a loving fans all around him, and he sides with the guy who's going to beat up the challenging babyface on the pay-per-view? Like, I thought that was a miss of epic proportions. Like, this had to be Mahomes gives Jey Uso. I think you could do the exact angle, just flip the characters around, have Mahomes give Jey the Super Bowl rings to bop, you know, Priest on the head or McDonough, even something. But, like, decide with heel Logan Paul, who's, like, ragging on your babyface champion, and the guy that's doing it is this hugely famous, popular, mega talented quarterback in his home city. I'm out on that. Miscast.
So Meltzer, who we have nothing but love and respect for on this show, they've almost sold 8,000 seats for the Australia show, had said that this segment was created by Patrick Mahomes and Logan Paul to promote Prime, because there's a synergy with the two of them. So they have to be aligned with one another. It makes sense in that regard. Yes, it was a little bit of a miscast situation. You still had the Braun Strowman squaring off with Patrick Mahomes, and no real ultimate payoff.
Right.
But the idea that Patrick Mahomes is kind of a scumbag heel is really fun. And it was a way to use the rings. It kind of worked. I think it's the hair. The hair annoys me more than anything else. But
R-Truth, how about the lump on McDonough's face?
Well, that was quite funny. But
insane.
R-Truth calling him the insurance guy absolutely popped me.
Wonderful.
That was great. He's got a sense of humor. And I think some of these guys, when you're an athlete and you come in there and you want to go play in the sandbox, it's more fun to be the heel.
Yeah.
Like, you want to be the antagonistic jerk.
I mean, look, I think you could have pulled that off in literally any other city better, because nobody, if you're out of your home city, no one likes Mahomes. He wins too much. But yeah, I think everybody does. And but here's the thing though, man, like, we all remember the days of like celebrity involvement in WWE on Raw, where you had like D level stars and just low level like celebs coming in.
This was Jeremy Piven is pinging me on mine.
Jeremy Piven, exactly. Like, this, regardless of whether or not it was a miscast segment, which I think it was, it is a flex in terms of WWE's, you know, reach and relevance in big time circles. So that is a huge pivot.
People are not going to remember what Patrick Mahomes did. They're going to remember that he was there, and he's going to exist on sizzle reels for the next decade. Yeah. You go to Upfront, you start throwing some of those out there, and it's like, wow, this is a big time show. It's kind of the reason I know who Bad Bunny is, was from his first interactions there. And you saw the Fall Guy stuff last night. Little intrusive, little unavoidable, but it's a major movie with actual major movie stars. Mm-hmm. And you had Ricochet there interviewing the director. There were some segments that existed within it. They're making a ton of money off of these sorts of deals. So I kind of like, I'm glad they didn't like put like Fall Guy in the middle of the ring or something like that. But yes. It wasn't bad. And on an episode of Raw that, if I'm being honest, just kind of there.
Oh, yeah.
It was a very much just sort of going through the motions to get to a PLE kind of show. And the biggest other takeaway that people seem to have was the Liv Morgan, Dominic Mysterio, what, you know, they were coming out of the same locker room at the same time. What does that mean? That's kind of fun.
Super fun. Really fun. I like the little, you know, the nugget of that, like where they're not just like beating you over the head with it yet, but you have to like pay attention, you know, in the background, you kind of see that unfold. I like the slow burn on that. And look, Liv Morgan is going to be a heel when Rhea Ripley comes back. I mean, there's just no stopping it at this point. People want to see her get beat up by Rhea. And as long as she and Dom have chemistry together, why not? And I mean, that's the ultimate. Like, a big part of Rhea fully turning babyface again is going to be her beating up Dom too. So this is really intriguing. It works on multiple levels. It's going to get Liv over as a heel. It's going to keep Dom in a position where he's with a woman. I think that helps that gimmick and that character. And then Rhea's going to have foil instantly when she comes back. So this, thumbs up, man.
You're also jumping to conclusions, Zach. Just because a man and a woman were in the same room at the same time doesn't mean anything. But if you are jumping to that conclusion, may we recommend our friends at Blue Chew. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Guys, you gotta hope that Dominic Mysterio had one of these tucked away in his pocket, because you never know when an opportunity is going to happen. We're alone in a room with Liv Morgan, and the last thing you want to do is drop the ball, because Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this draft edition of Rumor and Innuendo. We are going to pivot slightly, still sticking within the world of the WWE, but according to the new Sean Ross Sapp, the Undertaker, the latest rumor according to Taker is that WrestleMania, which is between Minnesota and Nevada, is going to be in Las Vegas. Are you excited for Vegas as the potential Mania destination?
Absolutely, I am 100%. I'm a Vegas guy. I like Vegas. I like to gamble. So sign me up. Sign me up. I think it's going to be anywhere they go now is going to be like, you know, the talk of the wrestling town. But Vegas, you know, you can walk everywhere. Transportation's not a big issue. So thumbs up. I think we're all going to have a damn good time.
Yeah. What's funny is I didn't go to Mania this year in Philadelphia. I had some scheduling conflicts. I was actually out of town like the week prior. But next year, since we are here, Rumor and Innuendo, part of the ad-free shows family, you know, wanting to be able to participate in some of the ancillary ad-free shows related events, I told my wife, oh, Mania next year is going to be in Minnesota. And you just saw the light drain from her eyes. Now telling her, hey, it may be in Vegas.
Yep.
Totally different conversation, totally different situation. I all due respect to Minnesota, all due respect to the fact that Jesse Ventura is talking about possibly getting involved in the WWE again. I want to go to Vegas for Mania. I think that would be a hell of a lot of fun. I think that you're going to attract a broader audience, and there's probably a lot more to do than walking around the Mall of America like in a puffy shirt like Lex Luger.
No question. No question. And look, I think, you know, in Philadelphia this year, I was there. It was a nice weekend, to be sure. But, you know, weather was cold. You know, there's not, you know, like Vegas opens up all sorts of possibilities. We need a warm weather WrestleMania. You know, my wife is in the same boat as yours. Like, oh, Minnesota, like, eh. But Vegas, I'm not even going to have to twist her arm.
No, I think it'll be a lot of fun. It's interesting because I feel like I went into a whole thing yesterday, but how there is not a war between the two companies, but there is a little something to AEW has tried to plant their flag with Vegas as being an annual destination for their pay-per-views. To me, Vegas was always the annual destination for WCW. They would always do the MGM Grand Garden Arena. So maybe a little bit something to that. I know that the WWE was thrilled with the show they did at Allegiant last year, the Money in the Bank show. So why the hell not? Someone who will not be at WrestleMania is Camille. Camille, star of the NWA with our good friend Billy Corgan, which is available on the CW app. Can't talk enough about that show. We love it here. It's our all-time favorite. She has reportedly signed a deal with AEW. This is an expectation that she's going to debut shortly, according to Fightful Select. She gave him a free agent on January 1st when her NWA deal expired. Both WWE and AEW were having conversations with her. This is where she landed. Are you surprised that she's an AEW dynamiter?
You know, a little bit. And not because, like, it's a bad spot for her. I felt that, like, you know, WWE and Paul Levesque would look at her as like, oh man, this, you know, very much like has a WWE superstar look to her. Just more so than AEW. And AEW has a lot of talent. There's, you know, an influx of talent in the women's division. Mercedes Moné is there, as we know. So to me, it was like, this is a good spot for like her to go to NXT and, you know, make some waves there and then, you know, head up to the main roster. But I don't think it's a bad move for AEW to bring her in. I think she's a different type of female act than they have on the roster right now. And so, like, the diversity in styles, I think, is going to help that division in AEW. And she carries some name recognition, especially for diehard wrestling fans who are watching the AEW product right now. So I think she could work well. But just like anything else in AEW, it's about presentation. You got to present her in a certain way, especially somebody like her who's not going to have, you know, 25-minute banger matches. She's a different kind of star, and she'll need that kind of attention.
I think when she looked at the landscape, you see how Jade Cargill was presented in AEW and how she's been presented in WWE. But at the same time, Camille kind of knew if she goes to WWE, you're NXT bound, where you're going to be for 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever that may be. AEW is like, hey, we'll take you. You're going to start right now, and here's some guaranteed money. Good Lord, I was fighting that sneeze that entire sentence. and it made it out. I hit the mute button. We're good, guys. This is a professional broadcast. Well, but yeah, I think she realized, you know, I'm going to go get my money right now up front at a point in time where Tony Khan needs a strong women's division. You bring Mercedes Moné in, and then you look who she's going to be able to work with. It's a lot of tumbleweeds. So Camille is, in his mind, splashy, and he is most likely overpaying for any talent he thinks is between WWE and AEW. I mean, you look at how much he rolled out for Ospreay, how much he rolled out for Okada. I'm sure that the guarantee for Camille was pretty healthy.
Yeah, I agree.
Tony might not be very healthy. He's still got the neck brace on. He was talking to TMZ Sports, to Mojo Rawley, and talking about the NFL draft. And he said, I'm glad it got so much attention for AEW. It's a really exciting time for the company. A lot of people have been introduced to AEW by this, and I know that we have a great audience for our show on Saturday. I've made my feelings known about the draft, the post-draft comments, all that behavior. What has been your takeaway, Zach? Do you think this has been a positive or a negative for AEW?
I think it's been a negative for AEW. I mean, look, you want the attention for sure. And you may have introduced some people at AEW through this stuff that's happened throughout the NFL draft and all that. Where I think it falls apart is that I think people are just kind of snickering in the background. It's kind of like, ha ha, look at this guy who's like playing this gimmick out, like, ho ho ho, it's hilarious, it's so funny. And it's like, no, like it was a major serious angle, or it was supposed to be anyway. And Tony Khan kind of went out there and kind of just yucked it up with everybody and kind of laughed along with everybody. And I think that hurts your product long term. It doesn't create investment in what you're trying to do with this angle. And that is an issue all across AEW. You got to have that fan investment. And I think this Tony Khan out on that media run, you know, did a disservice to that end goal.
Yeah, it's weakened the internal product. It's weakened the idea of AEW outside of it.
Yes.
He's continuing to now double down. He did it again yesterday on this notion that AEW is the good company, WWE is the bad company. You're inviting a lot of criticism, a lot of issues, a lot of problems. But that's not what we're inviting here, guys. What we did is we invited our man Zach here to fill in today. And Zach, where else can the fine folks find you?
You guys, you can find me over at Brass Ring Media. We do written work there on Substack. You can search Brass Ring Media on Substack and find us. We also have a YouTube channel, which carries all of our content. We have videos that go up every day. We're live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday with different specialty shows, including tonight, 8:30 Eastern will be our flagship show. We'll talk WWE and Backlash and a little bit of an AEW preview. So Brass Ring Media on YouTube. It's that simple. Search there. And you can also follow me on social media on Twitter X at Zach, Z-A-C-K underscore Heydorn, H-E-Y-D-O-R-N. Yeah, do that. And that'll be a nice hub to find all that I do. Thank you for having me on. I love doing the show. I look forward to when Dominic has other things going on so that I can pick up the slack. I love it. Thank you, Robert. And thanks everybody who's listening.
It was great. Appreciate you joining. And you guys can join us every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on the WWE Creative underscore ISH X account, the Dominic D'Angelo X account, the Podcast Heat X Account Podcast Hedis, who makes this show possible. The SE Scoops X Account. Shout out to Mike Shalick, who I actually had lunch with on Saturday, as well as the ad-free shows, Rumor and Innuendo, YouTube pages, Jeff Jarrett, Be Damned. So on behalf of not Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpolis. Best of luck in your future endeavors.